It is December 4th, 2015. I felt in my heart for a few weeks now to try to just walk through Ephesians, just however Holy Spirit wants to lead us. We'll pray over that. Father, we really want your mind. We want your heart in this. It's just there's something very significant that I feel you've been putting your finger on that we need to learn from this letter. And again, from the overall perspective or the core value of Christocentric and Christ being formed in us. I mean, this is the bottom line. Father, we don't want slick sermons and slick programs. We need transformation, God. We really do. We need transformation. Anybody agree with that?
Amen.
We really need transformation. But I wanted to start this off with just Galatians 4. I want you to hear just the passion in the heart of Paul for the people. It's just amazing. You know, may the Lord give us this kind of passion for others. I mean, listen to what he says here in verse 18. It says, "But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." So we're not just doing it just to, you know, for somebody to check us out. Even when the ones who we respect or admire are not present, we don't go ahead, you know, like show offs or whatever. We do it just before the Lord. And he talks about this zealously affected always in a good thing. So Lord, may we just have a passion for what is good, what is you. And then he says this. He says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you." I mean, to have people like that around us that are so on our side, that have our back covered in the Spirit, that are travailing. That's a powerful word, by the way. It's birthing, guys. That people love us so deeply, or we love so deeply, that we are in travail. And I get the picture of, like, here's Elijah with his head between his knees, travailing that it may rain again and refresh the land. Not going to flesh all that out, but yet, boom, he said, "Hey, there's a cloud the size of a man's fist." But anyhow, then he got up and began to run. Again, not to flesh that out, but a great rain came. And so the birthing of these things. Lord, I really want to see Christ, His nature, birth in us. I just wanted to kind of key in on that. We're going to go to Ephesians 1 with this in mind. This deal. Christ being formed in us. And I'll preface it with kind of some core values that I come from. Is there's a lot of things that we've been learning over the years. And number one, we must get the revelation, I believe. We're not deficient trying to somehow claw and scratch at feeling like we're sufficient. That cannot be the core in which we come. We need to realize we are sufficient in Christ. And because of the sufficiency of Christ, because He does say, "In Him we are complete," we must... I mean, I'm telling you, for discipleship and learning to walk this stuff out, I believe victoriously as overcomers every day, we have to have this perspective that I am not deficient, bad, lesser than, and all the things that plague not only us, but also humanity at large. We need the Holy Spirit to change our minds. We must have the mind of Christ to even see the kingdom, let alone walk out the kingdom. So Father, you got to give it to us. We have to have eye salve, like the exhortation you gave the church of Laodicea about having gold refined in the fire that we might be rich, having white raiment, white garments to clothe the shame of our nakedness, and eye salve that we might see. So we want that exhortation from your Spirit this morning, Lord. We got to have these things that you have made us pure as gold. You have given us purity. You've clothed us in Christ. That your sacrifice really is sufficient. That the cross, when you cried out, "It is finished," we really believe that. We put faith in that. And we trust that you are so able to give us eye salve that we can see. So Lord, as we go into this, in the days to come, that we really need Holy Spirit. We need the interpreter. We need Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the helper, to help us get really the reality of transformation. We got to have it, Lord. We got to have it. We got to have it. We got to have it. Lord, I've heard so many sermons. I've heard so many really, really cool messages. And they're cool messages, sound doctrine. But there's something, there's a disconnect. Something has failed to give us the transformation we need. And whatever that is, Lord, we give you permission to deal with that in our hearts. I can't speak for anybody else. But Lord, whatever that disconnect is, Lord, put your finger on it and just remove it. It's got to be removed. And all of us, Lord, right here, right now, we got to know who we are in Christ. We have to. We got to know who we are in Christ. If we don't have that, everything else is in vain. So I pray that, Lord, for the brethren. That as we start this out, Lord, you just begin to give us the eyes of it. We need to see clearly from your perspective. All the shame and the defecation of condemnation that just beats us down. And it just propels that same old wrong thinking and same old wrong behavior that's contrary to your kingdom. Lord, just deal with these things supernaturally, because we cannot conjure up by the arm of the flesh a better way. We need a miracle. Anybody agree with that? We need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need a miracle because we want Christ to be formed in us, Lord. And I believe Christ being formed in us starts with the revelation that we are perfect in you. Christ being formed in us, we come from the premise that we are complete in you. Coming from the starting place because of the blood and the sacrifice of Christ. The price paid. That we're the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, it's a mind blower. The carnal mind can't even understand that, Lord. But by the Spirit, we choose to start off with this way. So Lord, as we proceed here, Lord, I just pray that you will give us eyes that see, ears that hear. Ephesians 1:1. I'm just going to read the entire chapter, and then as the Holy Spirit leads, to kind of highlight things. That's kind of how we roll. I mean, because, you know, I'm not like this, you know, stellar theologian, but I do have unction. We all have unction of the Holy Spirit, right? As the Word says, you have no need for man to teach you, for you have an unction from the Holy One of God. Amen? Yes. I mean, we have an unction. So we do believe in the gifts of the teacher. We believe in all the gifts that Father has given us. It gives us, you know, as he is clearly, I believe, set forth. But there's something that always, these gifts that Father gives us in men and in women, it always lines up with the teacher, the Holy Spirit, who will lead us into all truth. So, Holy Spirit, we give you total permission to exegese and to commentate and to spell these things out so we have understanding. Because if there's not revelation, if there's not understanding, how can there be application? How can there be appropriation? So we want to have revelation, understanding. So Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the will of Elohim, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Yeshua HaMashiach. Grace be to you and peace from Elohim our Father and from the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. And I want to just right here key in on this is written to the saints. It's not written to the world. Are you saints?
Yes.
Is this written to you?
Yes.
I believe we can receive this exhortation. It's not for somebody else. We're going to personalize this. And he has a heart and a passion that we receive the shalom and receive the grace of Father. Amen?
Amen.
And this is always in Yeshua. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Wow. Is there any deficiency in that? I'm going to read it again. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is there a deficiency in that?
No.
He says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So whatever the disconnect from us cashing in on that, we want to address that.
Yeah.
Because I believe it's something that's in our own soul, guys. It's in stinking thinking. Something has disconnected this truth, this reality, from actually being appropriated. And we're going to go after it. We're not going to be denied, Judy.
Amen.
We need to get bold and tenacious, Aaron. We do. Like, I'm not going to be denied. That has to happen.
Amen. I will not be denied.
We are in a war, and the enemy does not want us to see this. To live this. But we are blessed, he says, with all spiritual blessings. I'm going to continue. According as he has chosen us in him. Let no one else say anything different to you. We are chosen, but I will say our lives are chosen for a purpose. And the purpose is always an eternal purpose. It's what we just read in Galatians 4:19. The eternal purpose of God is He wants Christ to not only be formed in us, but to be manifested through us. So there's a formation and a manifest. Amen?
Amen.
This is the eternal purpose of God. This is the call. And so our call is not only that we personally experience this, otherwise our stuff's in vain. Is this going to be a Mormon or Jehovah Witness or a Mooney or a New Ager? Or the thousands of different sects of Christianity out there, if we don't have any juice to our lives, we better have the real stuff. The only thing that will ever distinguish us is Emmanuel. God with you. That, wow, there's something different about those people. It's not just a folks that have a slick doctrine and a good rap. You know, boy, they really talk a good game. No, it's like, look how they handle each other. Look how they love one another. Look how they're patient with one another. Look how they're kind to one another. Look how sacrificial they are to one another. If we can't start here, man, I'm going for it. If we can't start here, the Lord does not want to remain here. He wants to export the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ among you as brothers and sisters living the life. He wants to export that to other people because His heart breaks, folks. His heart breaks over the wickedness and the darkness and the bondage in this world. It must be exported. But if we are not walking in the juice or the goods or the reality of who He is in us, we can't export zero. We must export something. And the something is the reality of Christ who moves among the people. The exportation is Christ who is rightly connected as head to a body. And no other king, no other Lord, no other God, no other master over a body and how that works and functions in everyday moment by moment life. That's the world needs. Because our slick doctrine, our light shows and presentation will only last temporary. But what has a long-lasting effect is just Christ. He Himself is the rock of our foundation. And this must be laid properly. So all that to say, according as He has chosen us in Him. It's always in Him. It's not some other God. It's not some other, you know, other program or the best of our religion. It's in Him. And He continues. Before the foundation of the world. That is amazing right there. Because the Lord lives outside of time. To do what? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Holiness and blamelessness works synergistically with love. And I believe this, guys. And we've said this before. That if we don't know the beauty of the Lord, if we don't know the goodness of the Lord, if we have not experienced His love for reality, it is very, very difficult to walk this life out, to be holy and blameless. There's so much distraction keeping us from a holy life. So many pulls in warfare against us to live a blameless, it's a clean, pure life. But when we understand by revelation His love, when we understand the demonstration of His love by the cross, the sacrifice, the "it is finished," it's like oil in the gears. Do you guys agree? And so we must have this working in us at all times. Because I want to walk holy, guys. You know, Jay, I don't want to just talk to you about holiness. Which means separate unto Him. That's what holiness is. We are separated unto Him. What does that mean? It means the entirety, the holistic approach to life is all about Him. It's more than a song. It's more than a sermon. It's more than a conversation. It is a lifestyle. We are separated unto Him. Holy means He is the preeminent one. He has the first place in our lives. He sits on the throne of our hearts. He is holy. It says, be ye perfect or be ye holy for He is holy. Well, why would He give us a command and not give us empowerment to walk it out? I believe He's empowered us. So the disconnect, I believe, is in our own minds. The disconnect is, I believe, that maybe we have allowed the residue of the world and the residue of pain and the residue of disappointment and the broken promises and how moms and dads and brothers and sisters and leaders and friends have treated us. And then we have all this residue. We don't see clearly. That's why I ask the Lord for eye salve, that we might see clearly. And all of a sudden it sabotages the reality of a holy life, which only really works by love. So Lord, we want to see clearly. And all the things that hinder the reality of You living holy through us may be broken in the name of Yeshua. I'm going to try just to read this here and not commentate, but it just flows out of my spirit here. Lord, we want this so much, Lord. To really walk holy, but not in a way of constantly measuring and weighing ourselves of like, okay, like we talked a few months ago about how God scores, you know, our report card. You know, we all have an A+. Because He scores according to His Son. And so that's the key. Amen? Yeah. So, and I'll say this to you as well. According to Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation for those in Christ. And that's the key. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Outside of Christ, trying to walk this thing by our own strength, our own ability, guess what? We are condemned. And we are hindered. and were naked, and the full shame and the ugliness shines, and the Lord says, no, 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 no. Get in me. Because the Lord scores according to His Son, A+. And so in Him, and that's what it is, we got to walk it out by the Spirit, guys. And if we're not in the Spirit, I really feel this as an everyday practical lifestyle. It may be 50 times a day that we have to come back into kingdom alignment. But I believe what empowers us to come back into kingdom alignment, which is that the kingdom alignment defined as coming into alignment with your true identity. Coming into alignment with the in Christ-ness, if I can say that. We get distracted, we start getting blinded, we start getting pounded by maybe anxiety or fear or feeling shame. Don't live there. Because the full weights of that death experience will fall on you. We must come back into alignment. I don't care if it's 50, 100, I don't care if it's 300 times a day. Keep a short account with God. This is what I'm learning of walking out practically this walk of holiness, this walk of blamelessness, this walk of being in Christ. So to continue here, I mean this is some good stuff, Lord. Thank you for breaking this down. We really, really want this. And verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption, wow, what a word, of children by Yeshua, HaMashiach, to Himself. It's always to Himself, not to a system, not to a better form of religion. It's always to Himself. Lord, you got to help me with this. I'm trying just to read this. So much is popping out of me. It's to You, Lord. It's always to You, and it's for You. So we are adopted. Wow, what a powerful word. Can't flesh that out right now. To Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Everybody say, thank You, Lord, for Your grace.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You for your grace.
And we define His grace as being empowered to live out what He's called us to, which is the manifestation of His Son through our walk in our life. Our lifestyle. So hallelujah, thank You for Your grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Somebody say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah! We're accepting the Beloved. Lord, I'm trying to discipline myself. I'm not going to commentate too much on that either. We are accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So I'm going to say, thank You for Your precious blood.
Thank You, Lord. Thanks for Your sacrifice.
The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery. That word mystery is a secret. The secret is what? The secret is His eternal purpose, that He really is giving you the goods, Judy, to see Christ manifested in you. That's the secret.
Hallelujah.
No religion can produce that.
Hallelujah.
Only the Holy Spirit can produce. What's the secret? I'm going to tell you the secret. I paid the price so Christ can live His life through you. You are reconciled. Wow. This is good juice here, guys. That is the secret. That's the mystery of His will. So you're like, well, what's the will of the Lord? Shine Christ. Very simple. Is my behavior in any given moment Christ or not? It's very simple, guys. It's not Christ. Repent. Come back into alignment. That's how it works every day. Truly, that's how simple it is. Said something stupid, Lord. Well, repent. Come back into alignment. Man, I got offended over there about that person. Repent. Come back into alignment. Be reconciled to your brother. This is it's very practical to me. And again, there's no condemnation. So we just constantly get in a habit of coming back into alignment. And I'm believing that the manifestation of Him will dominate rather than that bottom drawer living, which is the living, living out the flesh, rather than the top drawer living, which is living out the Spirit. Amen? Mm-hmm. So he continues, and in himself, verse 10, that in the dispensation, that's a span of time, of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Who's the one? So whenever we have our gatherings, the reality is this. There's something spiritually going on, guys. Our gatherings are really, it's a gathering unto Him. It's always in Him. And this is how we can probably get some solace as well. Why trying to live out an alternative to what we see today in American Christianity, and why it seems like it's slow moving, why it seems like folks resist it, because when we're gathering unto Him, and we focus on the gathering unto Him, we simply say, Lord, my eyes are on You. And if other people are getting the revelation of the gathering unto Him, it's about Him, we will somehow find each other. But it's very, very slow moving. Because a lot of people are gathering unto other things. And here's the rude reality. Again, not for me to judge in the sense of being a, you know, having a critical spirit. But nonetheless, we need to look at things in the light. Folks in general, high percentage, are gathering unto other gods. Gotta say it. Gotta be truthful about it. But we slap the Christian label on it. But the rude reality is, there is a gathering unto other things. It could be a gathering unto a man's ego. It could be a gathering unto trying to gain our own fame. It could be gathering unto other systems of religion. It could be gatherings unto things that do not bear the nature and the name of Christ. But that is the rude reality. So don't think it strange when you're gathering unto Christ that it feels like a lonely road sometimes. But the good news, 30 years of walking this out, is the Lord always has brought to me, and I'm so grateful. Even in some of the deepest, darkest, discouraging times of my life, He's brought the ones and the twos and the threes to encourage me on this journey. Because I want to gather unto Him. Every fiber of my being desires Him. Does that burn in you as well? It's a gathering unto Him. So don't be discouraged, saints. Please don't be discouraged. It's not always going to be the masses rushing to Him. Because they want to rush the things that coddle the sensuality of life. You know, things of my flesh that make me feel good. And the gathering unto Him means flesh melts like wax and He alone is glorified. So I feel that deeply. It's a passion in me. But the Lord always brings saints to encourage us on our journey. But there is a dream that there will be a body that gathers unto Him for His glory, to elevate His name, to love on Him as He deserves, and to worship Him as He is worthy of that praise. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You guys hear me a lot about talking about inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. I'm just going to go with the first paragraph here because we're running out of time. Isn't it very encouraging that the Father has not only worked things according to His will. He says being predestined. So before time even began, He knew the plan. Isn't that awesome? The Lord is a God of order. I mean, He's not caught off guard. He is not surprised about the things that we're dealing with in 2015 here. He really isn't surprised. We may be surprised, but He has a plan. He has His will. We've established what His will is. Christ being formed in us. Christ being manifested in a body of people. To be governed by the Holy Spirit. To be a holy nation among nations. To be that salt, light, and a city on the hill that cannot be hidden. We know the purpose. We know the will of the Lord. Be not deceived. Don't be distracted. We know His will. Let's walk this thing out by His boldness, by His courage, by His ability, by His anointing, which breaks every heavy yoke, to be that example, to be that influence in the systems of men. Because the Lord has never wanted to take us out of this thing. Just does not want us to be of it. So as we're navigating as ambassadors for Christ, that may we be so smeared with His presence that that influence, like a sweet-smelling savor, go and go before us, to precede us as we represent Him in the systems of men. And I'll go ahead and close with this, and we'll bring it pick it back up. Again, later. So He is working all things after the counsel of His will, and this just takes us to trust Him. Amen? Just to trust Him, because it doesn't seem like it's happening. I'm like, Lord, are You kidding me? What's going on with that? I mean, look what's going on in society right now, guys. I mean, He's already warned us of all these things. But it's not about us folding. It's not about us shrinking back. It's about us taking courage and being part of the solution, making the difference. Because with these wars and rumors of wars and the corruption at the highest levels of politics into the households of men, I mean, it's just the brokenness of family and all the assaults of hell against us. In the middle of all that, He says that He really is working all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That was verse 13 and 14. We have the Holy Spirit, who's been the down payment for our life. And this is what I believe. Here's my theology in the matter. I'm not waiting for some full manifestation of the kingdom when I die and they kick dirt in my face. Okay? That's not what I'm waiting for. I'm believing something happened 2,000 years ago, even in the Last Supper, we call it, which I believe is more than just breaking bread and drinking some wine. This thing we know as a Last Supper. One guy said, and I agree with him, it was like a new constitutional convention. He says, as the Father has appointed me unto the kingdom, I appoint unto you. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we kind of miss that sometimes. But 2,000 years ago, what He has been given by the Father was given to a people. It's not given to everyone. It's given the ones who really want to be ambassadors. It's given the ones that we're talking about that really want to bear His name. It's given to those ones that have fidelity or fealty towards their lover King. And so I said all of that because something has happened already 2,000 years ago that we'll go ahead and walk out. So every generation's in the game, I believe this, all the way into eternity. So let's not wait to be the example of Christ until someday I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Oh, we're just all human. Well, nobody's perfect. And all of these excuses that we make in our lives to make provision for the flesh, let's knock off the excuses. Let's repent and say, Christ, be the King right now in my life, in me and through me. Be the King. Be the sovereign. Be the preeminent influence in and through my life. Let's walk it out right into eternity. Because He says we shall rule and reign with Him. He's not waiting. He's already begun. Okay? And I'll close with this, as the Lord spoke to me when I was in a really, really dark place, feeling like a crumb bum, and feeling very disqualified. And how many of us know that when we measure ourselves by the flesh, we're all disqualified? It's very discouraging at times that we must have our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. We must have our eyes on Him. But I remember when He says that you are becoming who you already are, son. And if we can get that by revelation, because a natural mind can't get that. You are becoming who you already are. Christ has already paid the price. So let's be solid, surrendered ambassadors. I don't care if the entire world is going after other gods, which it is. I don't care if it gets so difficult and hard-pressed that people are collapsing and they're feeble all around us. May we stay our course and not use what's happening in the world as an excuse, or as we say around here, giving it a hall pass for the flesh. No hall passes for the flesh. If we get in the flesh, we repent quickly. You are becoming who you already are. This book is so powerful. I mean, we're just beginning, guys. There's so much richness in this thing. It's all by the Holy Spirit. The Lord's showing us some things. And so we must, by the grace of God, get the revelation of who we are in Christ. Ambassadors, that He is really forming everything and orchestrating everything after the pure counsel of His will. So, Father, we bless these words this morning, and we pray that You will get Your will done in our lives. Get Your glory out of a people that are surrendered. We don't know how all this works, Lord. You're teaching us little by little, moment by moment, every day. But I bless the brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank You for their lives, and may there be transformation in this word today. May it burn deep within us. In Yeshua's name, amen.